Relationship. It's all about relationship. It's all about relationship. Part of what I'm going to be talking about today is about death and decay. Exciting. Exciting stuff. Death and decay and dry bones. And how does that fit into relationship? But our news is so saturated. Our lives, at least mine, the incoming information that I get day to day seems full of death and decay. Depressing, frustrating. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. Full of death and decay and dry bones. It's full of people saying, those people over there, they're terrible. They're idiots. They're evil. Them. And it seems everywhere, pervasive. There's lots of discussions I have with people that feel that relationships are being torn apart. That there's a division in our world, in our lives. There's a disconnectedness. But I'll tell you, this time is not unlike any other time in history. There's one difference. You and I are living in it. But if you look throughout history, there's death and decay and dry bones everywhere littered through human history. So how is this message life-giving? How can this message be life-giving? How can we be light into this death and decay? Because it is heavy. I'm sure everybody feels it. There is only one thing. There's one thing that life is really about. Everything else hinges on it. Everything else is a byproduct of this one thing. Relationship. It's good to grind. It's good to hustle. It's good to work diligently. But there's one thing. There's one thing that will sustain you. There's only one thing that's important. This one thing is the purpose of creation. This one thing is the purpose of the gospel. This one thing is the reason for Jesus. This one thing is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. What is it? I've said it before, it's relationship. And really, as amazing as you guys are, it's not relationship with you. It's not relationship with you. Relationship with you is a byproduct of relationship with our Creator, with the living God. What else is a byproduct of a relationship with the living God? Restitution, restoration, resurrection. I think I've hit the sermon 3 points that start with the same letter. Restitution, restoration, and resurrection. But let's go on a journey. I'd like to talk about Ezekiel 37. And many of you already know this story. We've sang a little bit about it here, about the Valley of Dry Bones. I'd like to give maybe a little bit different perspective and a little bit different take on this passage, but let's read it. Ezekiel said in verse 1, The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me around among them, the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere on the ground. They were completely dried out. Then the Lord asked of me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" And I replied, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that." And then the Lord said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath in you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. And suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling. There was a noise across all of the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. And then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed on the skeletons. Then skin covered their bodies, but they still had no breath. And then the Lord said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a great army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All our hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people. I will open up your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." What would this story be like without relationship? Ezekiel wouldn't have even made it to the Valley of Dry Bones without a relationship with God. We wouldn't have even had passage one. In fact, we probably wouldn't even have Ezekiel in the scripture if there would not have been a relationship between Ezekiel and God. There's relationship with God. The life we have to offer, everything in life that we have to give, is a byproduct of our own relationship with God. We have to have a relationship with God. I'd like to pause just a moment and ask you a few questions for you to think and ponder. What does your relationship with God look like? Are you doing it right? Could it be better? Now, on that "could it be better" part, I believe that in everything, I can always be better today than I was yesterday. So I kind of have that view in this No matter how good my relationship is with God, no matter how close it is with God, I can always be closer and have a better relationship with Him today than I did yesterday. So, where does this relationship start? Well, what do you want? What does a relationship look like to you? Maybe start by telling God what a relationship with Him looks like. Maybe start by telling Him what you would like in a relationship. Maybe start by telling Him what you don't really want in a relationship. Tell Him your fears. Tell Him what makes you happy, what makes you sad. Tell Him your failures, your triumphs. Talk to Him. Start a communication line with God. He's there just waiting. When I was youth, I went to a big youth conference. And the speaker there, they said, look, God hasn't moved. You have. It's like a radio tower. You've just driven way too far away from that radio tower to receive that signal. Now, that message may be losing its oomph in the life of data, where we can get radio stations anywhere, pretty much. But the concept is still there. If you move away from the cell tower, if you move away from the radio tower, you're going to lose signal. And you have to get back to that. God is like that cell tower. He's like that radio tower. If you're losing signal, there's a good chance it's not God. There's a very good chance something moved. Someone moved. So let's start with, what is a relationship? Let's think of a relationship as a state of interaction, of time spent communicating with someone. The scripture is full of God trying to have a relationship with us, with you, with me. So again, what does your relationship with God look like? In what ways would you like your relationship with God to be better than it was yesterday? Is there interaction between you and God? Is there time spent in communication? Because what I've wrestled with this passage is I've had a new take on this passage. It's about relationship, a relationship with God. Ezekiel had a relationship with God, and he was able to speak and prophesy because he heard the word of God. He heard God say, go here, say this, do this. And then because he had that relationship with God, the bones lived again. This relationship is the foundation to life. See, a relationship isn't only about the relationship, especially with God. There's always a byproduct. Always a byproduct. And when we have that relationship with God, we tend to see the death and decay and dry bones around us. Our world is full of this death and decay, dry bones. Our country is full of death and decay and dry bones. Hampton Roads is full of death and decay and dry bones. People need an encounter with the living God. And many times that encounter is precipitated by us. The world looks at people who profess to be followers of Christ, And they see what kind of fruit we have. Because even people who aren't knowledgeable about the scripture, even people who don't have a relationship with God, seem to know what a Christian life should look like. So what about restoration at Lansdowne? We say and we claim that we want to be a hosting place for the Holy Spirit. Are we? It's not a judgmental question. It's a question to ponder every day. Because as I've said before, Lansdowne has been a church body that has had huge impact on me, a huge relational impact on me in my life. Lansdowne has supported me, has encouraged me. And then further restoration at Lansdowne has further encouraged me, further supported me. So that question isn't to say we don't have a relationship with God or we're not a hosting place for the Holy Spirit. But I think it's something that we should be thinking about, pondering. What does our relationship with God look like? And what does your relationship with God look like? That's something only you can decide. That's only something you can speak to. We can see fruit of your relationship, but only you can speak to what your relationship with God is like. And I'm not talking about just confessing your sins and accepting Jesus as Lord. I'm not talking about attendance to a building once or twice or three times a week. I'm not talking about volunteering in this building or in the community. And I'm not talking about singing nice songs. I'm not talking about being nice to people. I'm not talking about managing a budget with care. I'm not talking about working diligently at your jobs. I'm not even talking about being a good citizen and doing what a good citizen is supposed to do. I'm talking about your relationship with God. What does it look like? It's not difficult to have a relationship with God. Just start talking to Him. We were created for relationship. We were designed for relationship with the living God. So when we're not walking in relationship with God, we feel something's off, not right. This is why Jesus said, "I am the living water. I am the bread of life." It's kind of always confused me when Jesus said, "I am everything. You will never thirst again. You will never hunger again if you are in me." I get hungry. Everybody in my workplace, in my office, has a little inside joke. Quinn has an empty leg. I can eat. It doesn't look like it, but I can eat. And I get hungry. I also have a relationship with the living God. So what do we do with those words where Jesus said, "You will never hunger or thirst again"? Where does our spirit man and our body meet? But it's not difficult to have a relationship with God. Just start talking to Him. Pick up the scriptures. If it's on your phone or your tablet or your computer, turn it on. Get into the Word. Maintain a prayer life. And I'm sure most of us do. But are we just going through the motions? Are we just reading, or are we trying to encounter the living God in our relationship? Is this place just something we come to out of obligation? Do we just come because it's Sunday morning and we should go to church? Or is it a byproduct of our relationship with God? And we cannot wait to worship alongside of fellow believers. We cannot wait to praise God alongside fellow believers. We cannot wait to come alongside of our brothers and sisters and pray for them, encourage them, have a relationship with them. But that can only happen after a relationship with God. Relationship with God is paramount to life. And this has convicted me again. Because I've spent a lot of time, and I spend a lot of time doing in this activity. It's hard for me to slow down and just be. And when I do sit down to just rest in God, I feel I have to get up and do something else. Now, 13 years ago, I gave a sermon in a different congregation about life is about being, not doing. And it's a change of focus. We need to be in Christ. We need to rest in God. We need to walk in communion with the Holy Spirit. We need to do some things, but our focus should be the relationship with God. Not doing all these things, checking off all these boxes that we think we have to do. Basically, this is the difference between Mary and Martha. And if you remember that story, Jesus came to their house. And what happens when you get a visitor? You clean. You prepare a meal. And that's what Martha was doing. She was preparing for Jesus. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, being with Jesus, enjoying his presence, talking with him, listening to him. And Martha got upset. I would too. I would too. But that's another place where Jesus came in and he switched things around a little bit. He said, that stuff isn't that important. What's important is a relationship with me. What's important is relationship. Not how tidy this place is. Not the big smorgasbord of food that you're going to put on. That stuff is good and grand and yes, but what's really important is a relationship with me. And our culture is, and me too, I'm more of a Martha mindset. Where do I need to rest? Where do I need to form that relationship with God? Where do I need to put time and energy into talking with God? Listening for his voice in my life. But our culture is so much, you need to do more. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You need to do more. That's our culture. It's individualistic and self-serving. And relationship many times only is there and is important if it's beneficial to our bottom line. Again, in our culture, Many times relationship is only there if it's beneficial to our bottom line. If we can benefit some way from that relationship. Relationship in our culture is very rarely about relationship with that person. That type of a relationship is a byproduct of a relationship with God. This passage in Ezekiel, while it's about a valley of dry bones, while it's about God breathing life into the dry bones, it convicted me again of being, of a relationship with Christ, of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, of a relationship with the Father. Because we're not going to have any effect in this life with anybody if we don't have a relationship with Christ. It's only from a relationship with the Holy Spirit that we have the fruit of the Spirit. Otherwise, we have the fruit of the flesh. And let me just highlight those a little bit so we can hear the difference between those. The fruit of the flesh, or the sinful nature, in Galatians 5, if you want to follow along, it's sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties and sins like these. That's the flesh. But if we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, if we have a relationship with God, the fruit of the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that are a byproduct of a relationship with God. It all starts with relationship. There is nothing more important than my relationship with the living God. There is nothing more important than you having a relationship with the living God. Because when we have this relationship with God, He will give you a vision. He will give me a vision. It is from this vision that God will give us words to speak. And then it is He who will breathe life from those words into weary bodies, into minds, into hearts. And the dead will live again. Let's look at this breath in this passage again. God breathed life into the bones. This is a direct result of a relationship with God. And this word here is ruah. Not exactly sure if I'm saying it correctly, but it's the ruah. It was used when God breathed life into In the beginning, God breathed life. It means the Spirit of God, or wind, or breath. And it's the same word that Jesus used when He was talking to Nicodemus about the rebirth. Life. Life, its source is the breath of God. Its source is a relationship with God. When was the last time that you experienced the breath of God? A peace in the storm. When was the last time that you experienced a refreshing, a rejuvenation of your spirit? When was the last time you sat down and you just talked with God and you told him, I'm so frustrated with this. I can't believe this is happening. What's going on? Where are you? When was the last time that you jumped for joy and you said, God, thank you. I can't believe this is happening. This is so wonderful. When was the last time you were driving down the interstate and you just started talking with God? It's about relationship. God is calling us to a deeper and deeper relationship with Him. And we just have to start talking to Him. And we just have to start listening to His voice. But a relationship, as we've seen, is only the beginning. For when we have a relationship with God, we will start to see the death and decay around us. We will start to have words to speak life into those dry bones. A relationship with God is the foundation for everything. It is the definition of life. A relationship with God is why we were created. A relationship with God is why Jesus came. And a relationship with God is why the Holy Spirit is there, for us to have communion with God. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward as we close. I, for one, have not been necessarily living as though a relationship with God is the most important thing in my life. Remember, I've been doing and doing and doing. I've been a Martha when I should be a Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. A relationship with God was the reason Ezekiel saw the valley, saw the dry bones, heard God, and prophesied breath and life into them.
You're welcome.
That's a good relationship right there.
We do. We have a good one. Relationship with God is why Jesus came, saw your sin, died on the cross, and rose again. All of this so there could be restitution, restoration, and resurrection for you and for me. What is God asking you this morning? I have a feeling God just wants you to sit at His feet, to seek His face, listen for His voice. He wants that relationship. He wants you to spend time communicating with Him. The Creator of all wants to have a relationship with you. So I ask these questions. What does your relationship with God look like? In what ways would you like your relationship with God to be better today than it was yesterday?